Habitat Gandhi. Chandra Natarajan's imposingly massive body seemed to fill the hotel room. He was beaming broadly at Jordan and Aditi, his strong white teeth contrasting sharply against his slate-dark skin. Jordan gaped at the Habitat security chief. "You mean we're free to go?"
"You may leave whenever you wish," said Natarajan. "I received the call from Anita Halleck's new security director, and decided to bring you the good news in person."
"That's very kind of you," said Aditi. Natarajan's smile diminished by a few watts.
"Of course we will be sorry to have such distinguished guests leave us, but please accept my personal invitation to return to Gandhi whenever you wish, and stay as long as you please."
"That's very gracious of you," Jordan said, switching to Hindi. "Thank you so much."
"It's my pleasure."
As soon as Natarajan left their room, Jordan phoned Hamilton Cree. "Good news," he said to the security man's stolid holographic image. "We're leaving.
We're going home."
Cree nodded impassively.
"I just got a call from Chicago. We're already packing."
"Good.
One more thing," Cree went on. "My boss tells me the Boston District Attorney's Office wants you to testify at the trial of the kids who tried to shoot you."
Surprised, Jordan asked, "Do I have to?"
"There's a subpoena waiting for you when you land in Boston."
Vera Griffin sat disconsolately at her desk. Kell's latest broadcast had been a big success, but she had had practically nothing to do with it. The show was beamed to network headquarters and went out on the air while she merely sat in the control booth, watching it just like any other viewer. It was good stuff, she realized. But Kell can produce shows like that without me. I'm sitting off to the sidelines out in the cold. That's no way to get ahead. That's no way to impress Mr. Otero. Her phone suddenly announced, "Mr. Otero calling." Thinking he was probably going to reassign her back to neighbors and friends, Griffin muttered, "Answer." Otero looked excited.
"Vera, Jordan Kell and his wife are returning to Earth."
"Really? When?"
"They'll be landing at Logan tomorrow morning. You get a team together to cover their arrival."
"Right." Otero broke the connection, but Griffin sat there for several seconds, breathing hard. "He's coming back. We can do shows from here in the studio. I'm back in business." Studying himself in his bathroom mirror, Rudolfo Castiglione decided that the stem cell therapy had indeed repaired his broken nose satisfactorily. It looked as good as ever, he thought. Perhaps even a little bit better. His phone announced, "Walter Edgerton, sir, returning your call." Castiglione wrapped a bathrobe of royal blue about himself as he stepped into his sitting room. Through the windows of his condominium suite, he could see row after row of Barcelona's high-rise office buildings and other condos. Off in the distance rose the fantastically sculptured towers of Gaudi's Cathedral of the Holy Family. Edgerton was sitting relaxed in a recliner, a glass of amber liquid in one hand. He wore comfortable slacks and a velour pullover blouse. Even stretched out on the recliner, he appeared very tall, long legs and arms, his dark face stubbled with 2 days' growth of beard.
"You called?" Walt asked, with a bemused half-smile.
Castiglione wasted no words.
"Jordan Kell is on his way back to Earth."
"Is he?"
"He lands at Boston in 3 hours."
"And?"
"And we must take steps."
"To do what?"
Castiglione realized that Edgerton was toying with him. "The man knows that my communications link is secure, no one is snooping on me, yet he wants to hear me say specifically what he already knows I want of him."
"He is to be silenced."
Edgerton's smile vanished.
"That isn't something that can be arranged overnight. It takes time to recruit the appropriate, volunteers."
"You won't need any volunteers. You and I should be able to handle this assignment without outside help."
Walt's face suddenly showed alarm, and Castiglione relished it.
"I don't do such things," the black man said.
"It's time you learned," said Castiglione.